Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, welcome to Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. A little bit of technical difficulties, but we're going to get a show in tonight. I was getting ready to be disappointed. I got my sidekick, David Duck Riley, and also Mr. Tim Moore. How are you all doing?
We're doing a lot better now, Princess.
I'm
doing well. I was about to call my counselor because I was getting ready to go into depression for not being able to listen to Never Had It So Good this evening.
Listen, you should have heard my voice when I called Duck. I was like, Duck. It's doing it with every number, but we got the system back up. It is bad weather here, but we're going to get this done. We're going to wait on Coach Baker to get in here, and then we're going to get on with the show for sure. While we're waiting on him, and I forgot, I'm going to get out my list here of phone calls. Jim, what do you all think about the NBA playoffs? There is no Kyrie now with the Brooklyn Nets. Tim Moore, can KD do it by himself?
Well, I don't think so. I have great respect for KD's game, anytime he has had to be the alpha dog on a basketball team, i.e. Oklahoma City, and the reason I say that is that he did not have to be the alpha dog in Golden State. They had a championship team when he got there. He might have been
That's
the best
right.
player, but they had a championship team when he got there. When he had to carry a team like in Oklahoma City, he's not been able to do it. And now I thought they had a shot this year with the other two players, Harden and Kyrie. But now that they're down, I'm not having great faith in what they're going to be able to do. And the way P.J. Tucker played him yesterday, I don't know what's going to happen now.
Yeah. And Blake Griffin on the bench the entire second half. I see Coach Baker in the system. Doug, give me your thoughts before I get Coach Baker in here to celebrate the kickoff celebrating Father's Day. Doug, your thoughts about the Nets now. Shannon Sharp ate KD up today. Wow, it was awful. But your thoughts, Seth?
Yeah, real quickly. So how long is Kyrie supposed to be out for?
They didn't give any timetable. They said he left in a boot in crutches last night. He had another MRI or whatever scan today. They still did not give out any details at all, but he rolled that ankle pretty bad. I wouldn't think that he would be back in the game as they move the series back to Brooklyn for that.
All right. Well, we're going, they still got Josh Harris. They got some scores, but right now I'm with Tim. We might as well just stick a fork in them.
Well, you know, Kyrie has been hurt more seasons than he's been healthy since he's been playing. I mean, it goes back to Duke.
That's right.
He played 18 games his freshman season at Duke.
That's right.
Or 8 games, I'm sorry. He played 8 games.
Yeah.
And then went to the pros.
Yeah.
And he's been hurt more seasons in the NBA than he has been healthy the entire season.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a tough loss, though, and a tough way last night against the Milwaukee Bucks. Coach Baker, welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be with you guys. How are you?
Awesome. I'm doing really good. Happy Father's Day to all of you all. And Duck and Tim, go ahead and take over.
Okay. Baker, as usual, we're a little technical difficulty, but we're glad you were able to stay with us and get on. What we like for the listeners to do is just kind of take us through Brian Baker's journey. Just kind of take us through, you know, some of the places you've been, that type of deal. Baker, it's worth it.
Hey, I'm laughing, Doug, because as you know, and again, I valued our friendship over the years, but you've been with me through most of it. There's been a lot of places and a lot of experiences. Let me start off, you know, saying the first thing, is the most important thing is, you know, only by the grace of God have I been able to have the career that I've been blessed to have and worked with the people I've been fortunate enough to work with and be associated with the people like yourself that I've been, you know, blessed enough to be associated with. So, you know, that's kind of where it starts. But, you know, it's funny. When you asked me if I'd wanted to, you know, come on and have a conversation about fatherhood and talk to folks a little bit about my past, you know, I start thinking about the people that that influenced me, and you know, and obviously it starts with my dad, you know, growing up in Baltimore, Maryland, and my first opportunity to be a part of football at 10 years old, and my dad was my first coach. And it really, you know, kind of bonded a relationship that has, you know, just grown and grown and grown. And it's still, I mean, I can't wait to get back to Baltimore this weekend. We'll be celebrating his 85th birthday. And that'll be the day before Father's Day. So, you know, so he kind of put me on a path that I think, you know, fathers have the ability to do, you know. And I'm very, very grateful and thankful for that. But anyway, so I was, you know, grew up and started playing at 10 years old in Baltimore. Ended up going to high school there in Baltimore. We were pretty successful and, you know, pretty good football, a lot of players in that school. Went around the country, primarily the East, to play. Probably the most notable, Mike Pitts, that was an All-America and, at the University of Alabama later on. But anyway. From there, I went to the University of Maryland and played there. And, you know, we played against, you know, teams that were pretty good and the teams that weren't so good, like the West Virginia Mountaineers. And I was wondering if you were going
to. Okay. All right. Okay. You must have been talking to Princess. Okay. All right. Go
yes.
ahead.
That's what I'm talking about. He is my favorite.
Okay.
But it was funny. I got recruited and played my first couple of years for Hall of Fame coach Jerry Claiborne, and then he left and went to University of Kentucky, and then that's really where, you know, things started to change for me as a player, and then also, although I didn't know it back then, you know, kind of the path of my career. Bobby Ross came in, and I was talking about men that influenced my life and still influenced my life. My father was the first. Bobby Ross was certainly, you know, in there along with my high school coach in that second and third place. You know, he's a tremendous person, you know, and I learned so much from him. And still, every time we talk, I continue to learn things from him. You know, thank God he's still living and with us, living in Richmond, Virginia. But he came to the University of Maryland my junior year. And, you know, I played pretty well, and he gave me an opportunity to get into coaching. I wasn't as talented as you, Duck. I couldn't play pro ball. So he gave me an opportunity to go to graduate school right away and to coach. And I had no idea I was going to be a coach, didn't think about being a coach. And when he offered me the opportunity, I just, you know, I wasn't in any big rush to go to the workforce. I loved the University of Maryland and all the things I was doing there. So, you know, I stayed in. And then, you know, as a graduate assistant, student coach and then graduate assistant, I fell in love with coaching, really did. And then things kind of took off. From there, I went to West Point. And coach for Coach Jim Young, who is, again, a tremendous coach. If he's not in the Hall of Fame, he should be. Coach for him for 1 year at West Point, my only year coaching on the offensive side of the ball, and had some associations there, met people there that I still have relationships even today, players and coaches. And it was a great experience coaching the cadets. And then from there, I went to well, there was a shortstop at the Citadel for a week, all right, but I won't prolong the conversation with that one. But then from there, I went to Georgia Tech, and I was at Georgia Tech for 9 years. We were fortunate enough to win the national championship. I was with a lot of great coaches that influenced my career, most notably, obviously, Bobby Ross, as I mentioned earlier. He's the head coach then and brought me to Georgia Tech with him, and George O'Leary, again, another coach who'd be in the College Football Hall of Fame. If he's not in, he should be. Great football coach. and he was our defensive coordinator. So I really learned how to coach and how to teach under those two guys. Had some associations with Ralph Regent, who was also a really gifted coach, talented coach that I learned from, along with some of the assistants. So my 9 years at Georgia Tech is really where I kind of learned how to do what I made a career of doing. I was, as I said, we won a national championship in 1990. I became a defensive coordinator in 95, was only there as, for a year as a DC before I left to go to the NFL, and then that's when the bouncing around kind of started. So after 9 years of being at Georgia Tech, you know, I went to the San Diego Chargers. I met up again with Coach Ross there. He had already left and gone to the league, had already, you know, taken a team to the Super Bowl and done some great things in the NFL. But anyway, we got it hooked up again there. And then from San Diego after a year, now by this time I'm married, have my first child, second one's on the way, right? So my wife, after dating me most of the time that I was coaching at Georgia Tech, thinking, you know, hey, this coaching thing ain't so bad, you stay in one place. We get married 1 year later, I'm in San Diego, the next year I'm in Detroit. So, you know, she's like, whoa. So what's going on? And so I was at Detroit for 4 years. Again, I was with Coach Ross most of those four years. He retired midway through the last year for a temporary retirement. And then I left Detroit after 4 years and hooked up with Denny Green at the Minnesota Vikings. Denny was there just a year before he left and went to the Cardinals. Well, I stayed with a college teammate the first time. This is the, you know, I've actually coached with two college teammates, and I'm currently coaching with one now with the Colts, and the first time was with Mike Tice with the Vikings. So I stayed there for an additional 4 years. So that's 5 years in Minnesota. And in Minnesota, I coached linebackers and defensive line. Left Minnesota, and then after 5 years, so still not too bad. But then that's when things really started to crank up as far as time and, you know, moves. So from Minnesota, went to St. Louis, was there for 3 years. After 3 years, St. Louis, I went to the Cowboys, and was at the Cowboys for 2 years. Okay, then I went to Detroit. I feel like I'm missing somebody in there. No, not Detroit. I'm sorry. I went
Washington.
To pardon me?
I said,
yeah, anyway,
don't forget Washington.
Well, that's at the end. Yeah, that's at the end. So
okay.
Cleveland for a year, and then Washington for a year. And then that was, I think that's eight teams. And then that was my break from college ball for a while. I sat out for a year and actually was a high school coach for a year. I kid people, I said I was the highest paid high school coach in the country because I was still getting paid by the Redskins. But that was my one year away from college and pro ball. But then I joined the SEC, went to Mississippi State for 3 years. Okay. By this time, just had one. I have three daughters. Just had one daughter left in the house, and then Coach Saban kind of enticed me to join up with him in Tuscaloosa for my last year in college before I was fortunate enough to join Frank Reich here at Indianapolis. So combined over 37 years coaching. I'm on my 21st year in the NFL and a whole lot of places in between.
Okay, Tim?
Yeah, I was listening to that resume. It's very, very impressive. And, you know, just to touch on a few of those, there was an ACC championship at Maryland.
Right.
There was the you mentioned the national championship at Georgia Tech with Pat Swilling in that group. Is that correct down there?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Michael Coleman, yeah, was one of the young men
yeah.
was coaching. But yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah, great ball club. The San Diego Chargers and then the Detroit Lions. Is that during the period of time when Barry Sanders was with the Lions?
Barry Sanders was there for the first couple of years. I was there the year that he got over 2,000 yards. Was one of, I think, three or four running backs in the history of the league to get over 2,000, which was exciting, to say the least.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was coaching defensive line. I took a lot of pride and really thanks that, you know, at that time we were coaching one of the best defensive lines in the league. Had two players
right.
that were where there were multiple Pro Bowlers, and one that was an All-Pro, Robert Porcher, Luther Ellis, but the guys could have gone. You know, James Jones was an unbelievable, for the league standard, undersized nose tackle, Tracy Scroggins, and then we had backup players, some of which were college free agents that went on and played for, 10, 12, 14 years in the league, James Hall, for example, Travis Kersky, Kelvin Pritchard was a guy that we brought back. So we had a really stout defensive line, and I was no question, though, Tim. The show was Barry, but I liked watching him because that meant that we were off the field. but we had a pretty good D-line, too.
Yeah, Minnesota Vikings, John Randall and that gang up there. Is that correct?
I just missed John. John had just left to go to Seattle when I got there. Probably the best players best players that I coached when I was there was a young Kevin Williams. We drafted Kevin Williams, and made his first Pro Bowl and was an All-Pro player for us while I was fortunate enough to coach him. Pat Williams, we got him from Buffalo, and he too was a Pro Bowl player for us. And then we had some good edge guys, Lance Johnstone and some guys there. Drafted a couple of young kids. One that I think would have had a tremendous career had he not contracted leukemia was Kenechi Udeze out of USC. He really was showing even as a freshman that he was going to be an impact player and unfortunately contracted cancer and, beat it and by the grace of God came back and played a little bit but really never was the same. So didn't have the kind of career that I thought he was going to have.
Yeah, well, I won't go through each one of those stops, but the point I was trying to get to is that you've dealt with a lot of different personalities over the years as a coach. And as a father, you hear some fathers take the philosophy that, sort of one size fits all. But I hear a lot of other folks say that you have to father each kid individually according to their personality. How has coaching been informative in that direction in terms of relating to fatherhood?
Well, you hit it, Tim. I've got three daughters and then actually helped raise a fourth who was a niece who mom and dad passed away when she was young and my wife and I took her in. So really four young girls in the household and certainly for any of you dads who are listening that have daughters, that is definitely not a cookie cutter thing. Just imagine four princesses. You can't
exactly.
Right, princess, no way. So you can't have four.
That's not a great thing calling them princesses because we got a princess on the line, man. So
that's who I was just referring to. I was trying to get her involved, Doc. But no, you absolutely have to recognize that they're all their individual people. And if you want to maximize and help them maximize their abilities, their talents, their gifts, then you need to be able to recognize that they are different, treat them accordingly, and then find out what's best for them. What's the best way to reach them? What's the best way to motivate them? What's the best way to mentor them? And in parenting, and I think this is missing a little bit in today's time, also what's the best way to discipline them, and these things I'm saying about my daughter, Tim, to your point, is exactly the same thing that I found with my players. I kid people all the time, I've got all girls, and so I say all my sons wear helmets. But that's really, when I go to work, that's how I approach these guys. I approach them like they were my sons because I love them. I care for them. I want what's best for them. I think about them all the time. From a standpoint of, how can I help them maximize themselves and be the best version of themselves? And to do that, there is no cookie cutter. There's no template. You got to have relationships with them and understand who they are as people.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, Brian, I'm Precious is going to come in. We need to find out from other people what makes a great father or dad. So, Princess, help me out.
Coach Baker, we have some guests that we want to say something to you. So if you can hold on right there. 5046, you are on the air. What would you like to say to Coach?
I just want to say that, like, what makes my dad a great dad is that he's always there to listen, and he's the most supportive person ever, and he's so good at tough love when you need it, but also just there for you to talk out loud. Just last night, we were on the phone for hours just discussing what life is and big decisions, and I just really appreciate that he's, like, my best friend and that he's always there when I need him.
Wow.
Are you gonna give us? Are you gonna give us a name? Do we get a name with this dog?
Oh, sorry, I'm Jasmine. I'm his youngest, so he's had some practice for me, but he has perfected it.
Wow!
How about that, Coach?
Well,
how about
thank
that?
You, Jazz. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, she's fantastic. Let me tell you what. I interrupted Tim, and I apologize for that, for kind of interjecting some of the. Talking about some of the guys that I've coached and some of their accomplishments. But, I mean, when I mentioned the grace of God earlier, his biggest gift has been my daughters. And for them to have been in so many different states, so many different situations, they've been so resilient. And they all are achievers. I mean, Jasmine has been incredible. She just finished her freshman year at UNC with a 3.85 average. So she's on Dean's list. And that's all been virtual. But, you know, she was also – she went to campus, actually caught COVID, had to leave campus. You know, we had just moved to Indianapolis, so we had to make the decision of whether or not to move her to Indianapolis, where she didn't have any relationships, or to let her stay in Starkville, where she had a relationship, had relationships, and we put conditions. We said, okay, if we let you stay in Starkville, then, you know, the grades better not slip. You know, we better not have any issues. And she was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Just, I'm so proud of her. I can't say enough. And
had a great support system. I had a fantastic support system.
Well, they good. And then while I'm into the bragging on daughters part, Jazz,
I'm just wait.
You gotta wait, mate. You gotta wait.
Oh, I gotta wait. Okay.
All right. We got Preston.
Hello.
Princess, who do we have next, Princess?
I'm sorry, I'm just talking with my mic muted. 0991, give us your name.
This is Nicole. Hi, everyone. I know I didn't have my speech prepared. I thought it was more of a question and answer. But Jasmine summed up a lot of it, but I think the thing I really adore most about my dad is, number one, how incredibly proud of us he is, as you can tell. And then number two, just how incredibly good he is at problem solving. Like anything that we need, I know that we can call my dad and might not have the sympathy, but he'll definitely have the answer. So I really do appreciate it.
Well, that's good or bad, Nick, I tell you what. Well, Nicole is my oldest daughter.
No, it's
all
really
right,
good.
So Nicole is my oldest daughter. She's a UGA graduate with honors, and then went on and graduated from Emory with honors with a master's degree in public health. So again, and I can't tell you how many different states she lived in. She was the baby that was born in Georgia and as an athlete left to go to San Diego and then Detroit, bang, 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 and, you know, rolled it out from there.
I think I was nine.
So, pardon me?
I think I was nine states.
Nine, you had nine, okay. Yeah, so she's nine states and graduated from a high school in Texas and then National Honor Society and some other academic award. And as I mentioned, graduated from UGA with honors. And so, you know, and again, guys, this for all who are listening and my daughters know that, you know, I never go a day without thanking the Lord because, you know, by his grace. And then another good thing was, you know, not only, you know, giving me an opportunity to be around a good parent, he got me a great wife. Just let me tell you what now, this could be a totally different conversation if I wasn't fortunate enough to marry the kind of woman that I married and we've been together.
Yeah.
We've been together for a long, yeah, Duck knows. We've been together for over 35 years, but been married for about 26, I guess. And she's,
don't guess,
she's been
babe.
Awesome.
Don't guess.
Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there. But no, she's been amazing. And you can't you can't do this job. I don't think you can do this job well without having a great, you know, wife. You know, I was going to say team, but at times it was just she and I, and you know, and then we were holding it together for the girls, and you know, although they had to go through certain adjustments, living where they've lived and different relationships, schools, clubs, teams, all of that. Well, thank you, Nick. That's actually good to hear. Your mom and I had a conversation about that today, but we'll continue that one off air. But,
but open up some more phone lines, 2406, and I'm going to open up 9576. 2406, give us your name.
My name is Jade. He's going to know when I said that, of course, I get the short end of the stick getting lumped in with my mom. I am the middle daughter, as you can probably tell. But I think what makes him so great is his balance of support and tough love. I am probably the one that got to see the coach side of him the most, in addition to the dad side. And both were fundamental to who I am today. And I just think he's the most honest person I know, and I think you really need that from any parent, especially a dad. You always need to hear how it is, even if you don't want to hear how it is sometimes. And he'll always be there to fix how it is, too. So that's great.
Well, that one, like she said, the middle, she's Jade. And Jade, reason that she mentioned that she and I, you know, kind of had a little bit of the coach-daughter relationship is because all growing up, from the time she was four, she was always a tremendous athlete. And it just so happened in the sports that she was in, you know, during the summertime, I got a chance to be a part of them, particularly track and field. And so I would take her around the fields. And she was a, you know, an All-American track athlete since probably – 8 years old, 9 years old, an AAU, you know, national medal winner and all that kind of stuff, consistently in the top 10. And then also in soccer, very talented, and ended up in their high school, I guess a sophomore year, getting the female athlete of the year in Texas for the private schools. And, you know, she four-sport letter winner. Well, anyway, so going through all those dynamics, you know, gave us an opportunity to kind of have a different relationship than I have with Jasmine, a different relationship than I have with Nicole. And, again, so tremendously proud of Jay. You know, she, and I don't know, Duck, if you even know this, but she just currently became the first black female president of Georgetown's law school and bar association. Did I say that right, Jay?
The first black female student body president of Georgetown Law. There you go.
Wow.
Law. There you go. So, so obviously she's, you know, finishing up. She's doing her last, about to start her third year of law school at Georgetown, and that's after being a record holder hammer thrower at UVA, University of Virginia, where she graduated from. You know, with. Obviously did a great job to get into Georgetown. So yeah, again, I mean, the resiliency from these girls, obviously God gifted them a tremendous amount of gifts and talent. But the thing I'm most proud of with the girls is they actually have done what, you know, I encourage my players to do. I encourage really people to do, whether it's young men in my life that I get a chance to mentor or guys at the church when I get a chance to talk there. It's be the best version of yourself. Don't compare yourself to other people. Like, I don't have them compare themselves to each other. Now, my youngest one came, you know, coined a phrase that I kind of got a kick out of, and that's the Baker girl standard. But the Baker girl standard wasn't always a standard of excellence. It just so happened it was, but it wasn't that. And I wanted to make sure she understood that. It was the standard of always doing your best. So your best is compared to you. It's you having an understanding of your talents, and you know how hard you work. So are you working as hard as you can work to use all the gifts that you're given? Are you maximizing your opportunities and your talent? you know, are you using all the things? Because all those things are God-given. And if you waste it, then it's a shame, in my opinion. So, you know, the standard wasn't a standard of excellence by worldly standards. It was a standard of excellence by, hey, am I getting all out of me that I can get? And that's something that I think all three of them have done. And I can't be, you know, as Mickey said, you know, I'm always proud of my friends. I tell you, I'm bragging on them all the time. I mean, you know, I don't tweet very much, but when I tweet, it's about them. I mean, I'm really excited, really, really blessed and thankful for, you know, my wife and my family, and particularly these girls.
Mom, yeah, and I know wife, one of the questions.
Is she on here?
You on there, Mom?
Mom's not on?
She's on. She's on. I think she's probably figuring out how to unmute.
I'm not muted.
Okay, I didn't know you were on. I didn't know you were going to be on this call. What a surprise. Hey, Duff, man, how are you? This is awesome.
Hello.
Hi. We want to hear from you. What do you have to say about the best father in the world?
Put her on the spot.
No, the bottom. I'm listening too. I'm taking notes.
I got you. What I have to say is, I actually love that I get to see the other side of what they see as him being. Yes, he's tough and definitely wise in his advice, but he is such a teddy bear with these girls. Softy.
Oh.
Which is great because, you know, girls, it's great for girls to have that. It's a nice, soft place to land in the world, what you need. In addition to all the, you know, the other advantages they have from getting his advice and watching him work and his work ethic and his faith, it's just some kind of a great example. So that's what I have to say about that. But he is such a softy with these girls. I think the opposite of what he has to do at work. He doesn't want to do that at home.
No. I tell you what, it was a great example that we were coaching. I was coaching in Minnesota. We were having a scrimmage during training camp, and it was a nighttime scrimmage. And the girls were really young. This was back in the early 2000s, and so they were all really young. And so after the scrimmage, I picked one up. You know, she was running around on the field. Picked her up in my arms. I even forget which one it was. I think it was Jasmine. And she started rubbing my head. I guess I had a vein still popping out of my head from screaming so much at the scrimmage. And she said, "Daddy, don't ever yell at me like that, please." So I am completely different to Nevada's point. Completely different at home with these beautiful women than I am at work with those guys, for sure. But you know, I the expression of, let's put it this way, the expression of love is different.
Yeah. So, yeah, Coach, we got you with all of this, huh?
No, I was just going to mention that I have a girl, too, and one of the things I've found is very much in line with what he's saying is that, you know, there's a very special relationship between a daughter and a father that's a little bit different than with a son, and they can get things out of you that that sons can't get.
Well, I'm going to trust you on that since I don't have any sons, but I can definitely believe you. I mean, you got another fantastic father on the line over there that I've witnessed firsthand. Doug,
right.
As far as the father-daughter stuff, what's your thoughts on that?
Hey, I'm broke.
I hear you, Doug.
Till said the magic word, getting stuff out of it. I'm still trying to recoup. But, yeah, it's just tremendous to hear, you know, Nevada, Nicole, Jay, and Jazz talk about you, babe, because I know you so well.
I know you so well. So
it's just great to hear it.
Yeah, well, you knew me before I was a husband or a dad. So you've seen that evolution which we won't get all into right. the tail part of that, Duck. Nobody needs to know about that, that pre-stuff. we keep that between me and you. But let's
we can do another show on that part, Coach. We can
do a whole month of shows on that. Hey, from both our standpoints, but I'm not going to put them on blast either. But but no, I'm kidding. But no, that is evolution, right? It's part of growing. It's part of maturing. And I think this. I think as men, to be great dads, that's one of the big things we have to do is kind of move ourselves out of the center of the universe and put them in the middle of it, you know, and especially if it's a God base, God's in the middle of it, but then, you know, then your family is there. And then we're way on that perimeter, man. We're on the outside of that thing. And it's been tough from a professional standpoint to put that into action because, my job kind of demands that, it becomes, you know, it's the reason that we've moved so much. But it's also the reason that, again, by God's grace, you know, we've been able to provide for the girls the things that we've been able to provide for them too. So, you know, it's kind of plus and minuses on that thing. Fortunately for us, it's been a lot more pluses than minuses. But still, the career ends up being the instrument that things are happening around. But as a dad, you don't want to be the center of that. You know what I mean? You know, when you get home, the time has got to be their time. That was a tough thing about being a college coach, you know, prior to last year, those previous four, is because you get home, you got recruiting and all that other stuff. And, man, that was a hard adjustment for me after 20 years of coaching pro ball. All of a sudden now, you know, you come home and now that time wasn't all theirs. Now, fortunately for me, the kids were out of the house for the most part. Except for Jasmine, you know, she was in high school and she was out all the time anyway with her friends. So, but it was tough though. It took time away from Nevada and, you know, because, you know, again, you're at home, man, you're waiting for phone calls, you're making phone calls, you're DMing kids, you know, the recruiting thing. That's another, you're talking about another whole show. That's another whole show because that thing has gotten crazy. But that for college coaches, man, I tell you, it makes it really hard. For them to be good family people, it really this whole new system really it's a lot more challenging for them than it is for us in the pro ball.
Wow, Duck and Tim and family, you all just kind of chime in. I'm just enjoying it.
Yeah, look, I am too because the thing is, you know, Becky, you talked about you know having the your niece come in, you know. So how was that?
Well, that was hard, Duck, and I appreciate you asking about that. As you know, again, that was a hard time in all of our lives. You know, my niece, her mom, which is Nevada's sister, had just passed. She was in Atlanta. We were all in Atlanta together. We were at Georgia Tech. I was leaving Georgia Tech to go to the San Diego Chargers in the same calendar year that my wife's oldest sister and my niece's mom passed. And it was, you know, that in itself was hard, you know, because, it was hard on Nevada because she had to kind of navigate her emotions through that, leaving some family in Atlanta. And then we had to make a decision on, you know, what we were going to do with Narelle. Her mom had asked me in particular to make sure that she was right. And I had already kind of told her that she was going to be set. So she was coming with us, but she was leaving her older brother, who kind of had a young family of his own. So that they were just it was hard. It was hard because of Noreen passing. That's her mom and Nevada's sister. It was hard for that. It was hard because we're leaving, right? And across the country, it wasn't like we were leaving Atlanta to go to. You know, to go to Carolina, for example. I mean, we were leaving Atlanta to go to San Diego. So clear across the country. And it was in Narelle. It was in her senior year of high school. And she had been with us a lot because we were all together there in Atlanta. So her getting used to us as a family was probably not the hardest part, but us getting used to having somebody else we were responsible. And Nicole had just been born. So we leave across the country with you know, a high school or high school senior who just lost her mom, who's leaving her family, leaving the home, doing all that kind of stuff, living with us, okay, along with having a newborn baby, okay, and having all of that, and then going, you know, like I said, across the country, and for me, going to the NFL for the first time because it was my first year in the NFL. So that was a challenging year. That was a challenging year, to say the absolute least. And that's what I said about the profession. You know, you don't want to, as a father, be the center of it, you know, but it's hard to say that. It's hard for me to look in the mirror and say that my job wasn't at times the priority because it was. And I think that's true for most men because we're the providers. You know, not to say that, you know, I don't want to sound chauvinistic or anything from that standpoint, but I mean, but we are. That's our job. I mean, that's, you know, biblically and everything else. I mean, we're, you know, part of our responsibility is to provide for our families, however that, whatever shape and format takes. You know, for me, it was a football coach. And so as the provider, and that's doing my job and doing, it was hard. It was hard. Looking back at it, it was hard. You know, again, God got us through it and even, you know, kind of, you know, the same. But, you know, she's doing great. She's actually back in Atlanta. She's got a husband and three sons. Her oldest boy is just finished his freshman year at Georgia State and did great. He is also an honor roll student. I kind of feel like him, like a granddad, so I brag on my grandkid a little bit. But she's doing great. They're doing good. And she got through it. You know, she got through it and we got through it. But Noreen is really special. I mean, Noreen, I'm sorry. Norella is really special to us. And I'm glad you asked about it. Thanks, Doug.
All right, Coach, Tim, you want to finish it up? Yeah.
Yeah, Coach. I'm thinking about, you know, the challenge that you pointed out of living in so many different places, and not just in different places. I think you hit the nail on the head there at the end where you were talking about not just changing jobs, but moving from one region of the country to a completely different region, and you know, with a family. There can be cultural shocks that come into play from living in the South and living in the West because, you know, the personality of those parts of the countries are not necessarily the same. Minnesota, St. Louis, Mid-America, you know, Carolina back in the Southeast, Dallas down in Texas, which is a whole different world than any place in the country. And, you know, while those challenges were facing your family, in the end, when you now look back on it, do you see that there's some strengths that came from that in terms of resilience that was built in some of your children and their ability to adapt to things?
No question about it. I mean, each and every one of them, I see that. And again, it's funny. My wife and I actually had the conversation today as we were driving around Charlotte today looking for a place to retire. But we were talking about our past, and that came up. And, you know, I mentioned this year, you saw the resilience in Jasmine overcoming all the things she had overcome, COVID, you know, moving from Starkville, Mississippi to Chapel Hill, from Chapel Hill through Charlotte back to Starkville and doing all of this, you know, as she, you know, and she, you know, she had COVID. I mean, she had it legit. It wasn't like asymptomatic. She had it. And you know, Jade had us set up a little triage plastic thing in her back seat, put her in there. Jade came from D.C. to pick her up because I was in the middle of a ball. I couldn't even, like, go do it, man. I felt terrible. You know, I'm like, this is a dad's job, and I couldn't even jump in there and do it because, you know, we were in the middle of a ball in the summertime. So Jade, you know, had the time to leave, you know, fortunately driving from D.C., to Charlotte, got her from Chapel Hill to Charlotte, and then basically, you know, nursed her back to health. And when she got strong enough, she left Charlotte and went back to Starkville. During all this time, school's still in session. So, you know, you saw it there, the resiliency in Jasmine. And as I said, she finished this year, you know, on Dean's List. You know, I saw it with Jade. When she went to UVA, as I mentioned, as a track athlete, she started off as a sprinter and a jumper, more sprinter, but then ended up being they changed her to a hammer throw. She was one of the strongest girls. They thought she was going to be a heptathlete. That the throw coach loved her. She totally changed her body, changed the way she trained and everything, and then ended up, you know, breaking the school record twice in the hammer throw. Never picked up a hammer in her life before her sophomore year at UVA. So, and doing all that while maintaining, you know, over a 3.6 average, 3.7, I forget what it is, I don't want to shortchange it, at UVA. And ended up,
that's,
you know, doing
well
enough
at UVA
to get into Georgetown. Yeah. UNC, UVA, and then, you know, my oldest daughter, Nicole, going through the changes of, you know, being away from home, going at home, going at UGA, and you know, just the things that are normal for the college student. She didn't have quite as much adversity other than relationship-wise, which I won't get into that. But anyway, she had you know, normal college things that she had to go through, and she ended up, you know, fighting through it. And again, as I said, graduated from UGA with honors and you know, is doing great things now at Emory University. Well, working for Emory University as a postgraduate, post-master's degree, and doing some things collectively with the CDC. So tremendously, you know, proud of her too. And they all have learned to overcome. So, you know, it's like, you know, Jasmine and I talked last night about, you know, a long conversation that she's, you know, leaving Starkville to go back to UNC, you know, and actually be on campus. And one of the things that I talked to her about is she was expressing a little bit of a, you know, Dad, I hope I can do as well, that, you know, typical questions and doubts about new experiences. As I said, you know what, the best thing to make flowers and trees and shrubs grow is manure, right? So, you know, to grow, you got to go through some crap. And it's good. It helps you, you know. And,
but I also – oh, can everyone
go ahead?
I was going to say, you're talking
about
us. Oh, I didn't
know you guys were still on.
Still here.
okay, go ahead.
But, yeah, and I think that in some ways you described it accurately. Other ways, very far off. But in general, I think it breeded an attitude more of like more of a servant leader attitude. So wherever we went, no matter if it was across the city or across the country, we always had an attitude in how can I serve and how can I lead. And I think it solved a lot of problems. So yes, it was resiliency, but also just an example of wherever we have to go, we're together, and wherever we go, we'll serve and we'll lead and we'll be okay. So I'll give him that for sure.
Well, that's good stuff, man. Hey, can you guys tell relationship wise which daughter we have the most lively conversations with? You know, that oldest one, can you tell? she keeps Dad in check now. Trust me and believe me on that one. Especially now that she's gotten older. Yeah. I think she's making up for it. I think she's making up for when she had to do what I tell her to do when she was younger. She's making up for it now. But no, it's beautiful.
Well, Bake, we could do this. But look, I'll wait. Look into the tomorrow's conversation. But hey, we're gonna have to run. It's been great having Nevada, Nicole, Jay, Jazz on Never Hit It So Good Radio. From Princess and Tim, we'd like to thank you guys for being part of the show.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. It was a nice surprise. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you. Awesome. You can come back anytime and talk junk about West Virginia whenever you want. You have an open door, okay?
Absolutely, the Mountaineers. All right. Okay, thank you. Great talking to you guys. You guys have a blessed evening.
Awesome. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Duck. And we'll see everybody tomorrow night. We're talking the NBA, and also we'll celebrate dads again tomorrow night. We appreciate everybody. Also, Sports Talk Atlanta tomorrow at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, Sports Talk with K-Walk. And Thursday, we'll come back and we'll end our celebrating dads and Father's Day. We really appreciate it. Tim Moore, David Duck Riley, I am Princess Cooper, and we will see you next time.